Welcome everybody to this afternoon's session. I've just been reminded, could councillors please use their microphone when they're asking questions? I thought you all were, but you cannot be heard at the back, apparently. And we need to all feel we're participating. So if I ask Potoa if you could come to the table, please. Kia ora. 1656, page 199. Good afternoon. The time is yours now,
yep,
Potoa.
Okay. He honere, he kororea, he maungarongo ki te whenua, he whakaro pai ki ngā tangata katoa. He mihi atu ki ngā kita atua e runga rawa, tēnā koe, nau mai e nā hua, e hora nei, e hara mai nā i koe. E ngā tūpuna o taua whānau, o taua whenua, o taua hapū, o taua rohe, tēnā koutou, he mihi aroha ki a tātou katoa. I te mate ki ngā mate, tēnā koutou. He whai kororea ki tau wairua, ni ta haere ki Hawaii ki nui, Hawaii ki roa, Hawaii ki pāmama. Haere, haere, haere atura. Ke te mana whenua i tēnei rohe a Ngāti Whakaue, te koromātua tēnā koutou. Hei tū whakaora, me tau kā, me tau humāri. Te aroa waka, te aroa tangata tēnā koutou. E raurangatira mā, e koromā, e kuimā tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. To the Chair, Your Worship, me Chadwick, tēnā koe o te rā tō whānau, tēnā koutou. To our esteemed councillors, tēnā koutou, and thank you for your Herculean effort you have put in, not only since the beginning of this process, but with all of your combined personal efforts over the many years. Tēnā koutou. To the people of Rotorua, kia ora koutou, and to the kazis, may I make special mention of many new additions to our community, in particular Eru and Veronica White, and Dennis and Iwa Tuli White. Congratulations on growing our population by two. And I hear there's a royal baby just being born, which is good for our two nephews, so that they know there's a small baby girl cousin in Buckingham Palace. Tēnā koutou. We have kept the fires of occupation roaring in this rohe for 30 generations. For almost 1,000 years, our ancestors have lived, loved, raised children, grown crops, made shelter, created living shrines, and protected sacred spaces. When Tamati Kapua came to Aotearoa to start a new life, he knew that he had to forever turn his back on our old lands and to start looking fresh. When Ihinga walked from Maketu and discovered the lakes of Rotuiti and Roturua, he sensed that these lands would offer opportunity and challenge. So much so that his daughter was taken from him down at Ohinemutu. That first loss of life so many, many years ago began the cycle of birth, life and death for our people in these lands. Our ancestors have lived all around Rotorua and gave special names of meaning to every spring, every creek, every stream, every river and every lake. We have the two sentinels of Nongataha and Whakapaungākau. We have Tihi o Tonga and Wairinga, we have Moirangi and Pukipoto, we have the Utahina and the Puaringa, we have Ōhau and the Awahau, we have Pohutu and we have Te Puia. Our ancestors are buried in special places all over these lands to affirm our connection with the past and to act as markers for the future. The placenta of tens of thousands of tamariki intrinsically tie their birth with these lands. We are tangata whenua, we are mana whenua. For many centuries, other tribes attempted to take these lands away from us. We were attacked from the coast, and we were attacked from the forests. They came from the far north, and they came from the deep south, all with their eyes on stomping out our fire and igniting their own in these lands of Te Wairiki. Well, they failed. For centuries, my ancestors joined together and defeated wave after wave of intruders. Everyone has tried to take the prize, which is these lands, these waters, these resources, and they failed. So when Henry VIII was cutting off heads in England, we were here defending our lands. When Joan of Arc was communing with God and inspiring her nation to fight back, our wahine rangatira were developing indigenous strategies to keep their hapu alive. When the Indians and the South Americans and the Russians were fighting over land, power and resources, we were here planting gardens. When Genghis Khan humbled Europe and created a new dynasty in China, we were here raising children. When Magellan sailed the seas, we were sailing to Moana Nui Akiwa, to Moana Nui Atoi. When Shaka Zulu ran with his people on the plains of Africa, we were here organizing ourselves. And when Tasman, Cook and many others found their way to Aotearoa, we were here. Actually, my kuya used to joke that we told them where to park their waka. Cook, you park over there. Jeez, I told that Tasman not to park over there. Oh, well. So just to set the record straight, our people were creating history and her story long before the Western world sought to try and rule over us. When the first missionaries came to Rotorua, they found tribes to which they held high regard. Stafford talks about them often, about the relationships formed between such men as Thomas Chapman and our rangatira. When the Declaration of Independence was signed in 1835, one of our tūpuna, Pōtato Te Whirowhiro, signed it as confirmation of his mana and a perceived recognition of independence for all our tribes. Some 5 years later, the colonial agenda grew in strength and confidence as the Treaty of Waitangi was signed. Now, it is not well known that the tauranga copy of the treaty was brought here to Ohinemutu, where our rangatira, tohunga and hapu all discussed and debated its merits. People came from Taupō, from Maketu, from Tauranga, from Waikato to see what we would do. After a long night's deliberation, where the kōrero went back and forward, it was decided that we would sleep on the decision. The next morning, it was found that the document had been removed, preempting any decision, and therein confirming the fact that we here in Te Arawa did not sign. What we did signal was that these lands would be protected by us, and that peaceful settlement was imminent. And what we needed to do was better accommodate our international manuhiri, who were now making tracks to our lands. We gave them warmth, food, healing. Some even got a wife or two. Oops. But many stayed, and then we started that new dynamic of whakapapa linkages. For it was some 20 years earlier when Ngāpuhi made their infamous musket raids. When Ngāpuhi got the gun, carnage followed. Our people were quickly overwhelmed and many whānau killed on Makoia Island. It was then that we realised two things. That we needed to better understand the technologies of the world and that our old world had moved on. That was part of the reason Tapsil and Tupaia attempted to work alongside each other in 1830. And then into the wars of Te Tumu and the subsequent peace between hapu and iwi in those times. You see, peace is another form of partnership that we take seriously. This comes after countless debates, conflicts and battles, and is sealed with the gifting of land, the bestowment of pounamu, the sharing of whakapapa, and the marriage of two maunga. When the New Zealand wars began, we found ourselves on the side of the crown and fought to protect our lands, but also to prove to the king our ability, loyalty, and fidelity. We did this in good faith, and this was duly recognised with the many awards bestowed upon our tūpuna by Gilbert Meir in the name of the king. That changed when Mount Tarawera erupted in 1886, which saw the focus of travel and tourism move from the mountain to the geothermal activity here in Rotorua. Tūhaurangi were offered many lands by whānau all over the country, but the whenua or whakarewarewa was most like their home that had been destroyed. Because this is what we do. We open our homes in times of crisis and we look after one another. And we have become closer with that arrangement. 3 years earlier, the Crown had imposed the Thermal Springs Act, which in essence stole our taonga and created a town. Added to that was the Fenton Agreement, which talked a lot about what we had to give up and what we had to share. And as we all know, those promises never delivered back to Māori. And we just saw that as another Crown license to steal things Māori. We were called many times over to serve. World War One, Two, Korea, Vietnam, Malaya, and even today in Timor, Afghanistan, and Syria. We have paid the ultimate sacrifice for this country and for this city many, many times. And when our old people came home, they found that their lands had been taken and added to the soldiers' ballot. So while we served and helped the empire win, we ourselves came home as losers. The Spanish flu decimated both Pākehā and Māori alike, which again demonstrates that in times of crisis, we overlook the politics of the day and we figure out how to work with each other. So the town became a borough in 1922 and then a city in 1962. And for all of our contribution, sacrifice and effort, we still have not had a Māori mayor. Geez. Even when we were the majority, we were not fully allowed to participate. And this is what annoys me about the so-called democracy being pushed by Reynolds and his co-conspirators, because what I see is a network of the old boys desperately trying to hold on to power. This fight is as racial as it is cultural and intergenerational. We can see it with how many young Pākehā are submitting and choosing to speak. From what I can see, there's only one. Yet young Te Arawa are here to speak alongside and with the support of our karawa and kuia. It's like some of the oldies don't want to give the keys to the car to their young ones, let alone share power of politics with Māori. But that's the ekaupapa. I'm not here to plead for partnership. These. I am here to remind you all that our indigenous rights to these whenua have not been extinguished. You may think you can bully us in the newspaper, speak poorly of Māori everywhere, and mispronounce our words with every breath, but I am here to say that if you do not like the way we are, then move. Use one of the four convenient roads built and get your ass out of town. Because I am happy to say those colonizing attitudes of last century will die with you old racists that bully us today. If you don't like it, plan to be buried elsewhere. Because quite frankly, we've been here for 1,000 years and have that ability to say at times, we host you, and if you are playing up, then bae, you gotta boot it. And that brings me to the Te Arawa partnership. What I have enjoyed is the debate on our side of the fence. For years I have heard Pākehā say, you Māori are quite tribal and not united. Well, in this instance, we are. It is your Pākehā who are not happy. It is Pākehā who have all the money, Pākehā who have all the positions, and Pākehā who have all the power, and yet you cry now that you have to share. O karoa hoki. You see, when we had the resources, the power and the people, we still managed to share. And some say that our aroha always gets used against us. But that's just us. We have an open heart and we believe in good karma. When I was on the Te Arawa Standing Committee, I came in both to honour the work of my bro Hawi Avirko and to learn more about politics. I have a bachelor's in political science from Canterbury University. I have worked in Parliament and the Waitangi Tribunal and have travelled overseas, so my aim was to listen and to learn. What I saw was our people being reduced to nothing more than seat holders with a rubber stamp when Camp Kevin came to town. Camp Kevin. When I stood in 2010 to be a member of the Te Arawa Standing Committee, my dad said to me, try my best and not to be the big rock like my elders, but to be that small stone. I didn't know what he meant until we started fighting the council. It started with who was the chair of the standing committee, then the agenda, then flying a flag on Waitangi Day, then the council cut down a sacred tree to Ngāti Pukiao, then our fees, our Te Arawa standing fees got chopped. We were the lowest paid committee on council, by the way. Then some councillors said to me that they were going to vote against the Fordlands Park. Then there was the issue of the Kāringa Park. Then the Rotomaha Wastewater Treatment Scheme. It seemed like every single hui, the council had found a new way to dispossess Māori. We all still remember the confiscation of lands for the airport. So what I did was I became that rock and I put myself in the shoe of council. So everywhere council went, I was right there putting them off balance. And then the Eastern Arterial confiscation happened. And I try to speak with every counsellor. I tried. And to at least go and speak to the hapu. Every single counsellor I spoke to acted dispassionately and said there was nothing they could do. They pointed to the process and said it was out of my, it was out of their hands. That was democracy, and that's what it was to me. Democracy was Momo. So I picked up that rock out of the council's shoe, and like David, I hurled it at the council's head. And it struck. And while we didn't bring down the giant, you finally woke up to the local people. So I'd like to mihi to the people of Hurungatirangi, Uruku Kōpako, and Rangi Te Aorere for their unity, ability, and generosity. Because that's what this is. That's a wake-up call. Not so much for you, but for us. Our Māori whānau are waiting to see how our iwi are doing, so that they can go home to their rohe and ignite the same fire in their councils, because this racism is everywhere. But everywhere that racism is dying. What I like about this new model is that we as Te Arawa are excited about it, girls. Yes, it's complex, but we're intelligent. Yes, it does require funding, but we can do some sausage sizzles to pay for it. If your councillors are too poor, you might have to join us selling some sausages. As Koro Anuru Ranguhuia said, it's now time to move on for Te Arawa and on to something more substantive. I'd really like to acknowledge past members of the Standing Committee, Councillor Trevor Maxwell in particular, and Auntie Maureen Waka, Councillor Waka, who taught us so much about processes and policies and not to wear a hat in council and how to speak and how not to speak. But for me, it wasn't the Te Arawa Standing Committee that had failed, it was council. The council had failed. But like I said, I'm not here to plead for partnership. I'm here to embolden our people and to say kia kaha. We looked after Pākehā ancestors yesterday like we will look after their descendants tomorrow. We are not afraid of change when it is respectful and when it is inclusive. Gone are the days of smoke-filled rooms and old boy deals. Sorry, pro Dems, your time is nearly up. Yeah, looks like mine is too. So on behalf of my wife and our two babies, my dad, my mum, my four brothers, three sisters, my sister's here now. Dad, this is mean. See, for me, that's politics. Bringing the whānau, and even if they kind of know what you're talking about, they can take time of lunch just to come and have a listen. Tautoko. Me. Hope she brought me a pie. No, but the Te Arawa partnership is serious, eh? I mean, if we don't take this opportunity, I feel like we're going to go backwards and descend into some full-scale war. We've already got problems coming with the Tauranga super city, and at that time of crisis, I suspect Rotorua will come and ask Te Arawa to help. Why should we? We should actually let you fight this and lose yourself. But that's not for me to... on behalf of my father and our whānau, we'd like to support the Te Arawa partnership model. Kia ora, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa.
Thank you, Pōtaua, and I'd like to acknowledge your role too on the Te Arawa Standing Committee and those other members. It's been difficult for you to take some of the perception of that previous role. We don't have time for questions. That went over time. If there was a burning question, I think I'd allow one. There doesn't appear to be. Thank you for coming before us. I ask Rod Milne if you'd like to come to the table. This is 1764, and for councillors, yes.
Don't worry about that. Yeah, and I've got Maori Battalion stuff in there, just a couple of things I've put in those articles. Read them at your leisure. It was written by Geoffrey Cox, who was Freyberg, General Freyberg's intelligence officer, who went on to become Sir Geoffrey Cox, head of ITV in England. I think my father went to school with him. Okay. Right. Now, I've got a map here that I brought up at the Lynmore meeting. That it's an iwi map, it's a tribal map, and people couldn't quite explain it. It shows Te Arawa as an iwi, Arawa as the main holding tribe, from the coast to the mountains. From about Rotorua south, probably Hemo Gorge and out to the lakes, it's got Te Arawa. And below that, it's got Tupori Toa. So are you consulting with everyone or not? I don't know. So, you know, I'm only just... this is, and then I pulled this map again from the council a day before I had my submission in, just to make sure I got the right one, you know. So, and this here is a map of the Rotorua district. It goes right south to Mihi Bridge just about. It is a district, not the city. And John guaranteed us. We had a hell of a bun fight out in that rural area when the merger went through. This is tame. And he said no, and we got John in through the various, you know, 98% turnout. Because we knew he had a man of vision, John. Bit of a hard case, but he was a man of vision. That's what John, he went on, our riding member, your mayor, to the regional council, and then the chairman. And he introduced the, I'm not going to go through my whole submission now and read it all to you, but it's all in front of you anyway. He introduced the ward seats to the regional council. I've spoken to some of the regional councillors and some of the Maori councillors. They said it's working well. They're all equal. Women, men, whatever. It's working well. It's a good one. It's a good one to go forward with. You need Te Arawa, or when I say Te Arawa, I call it Arawa, need to be listened to here. And I propose to put two Maori ward seats in and two rural wards, because you dropped them to save your own little backsides, I think. You know, that was bad. You need a couple of farmers or something like that on the around the desk too. And not me. So that sort of, it works. We vote for the regional council. They're above this layer. We don't need another layer. And when you get, if you do, decide on a ward system, give them some support. Get rid of that spin doctors up top and give them to those two elected Maori ward people to help them, to consult. Through the Marais, right through, right down to the Mihi. You know, the people south, the Marais, they don't want to be called the Lakes. They're the district. We are the district, not the city council, and not, you know what I mean? We're not. We are the district, and John guaranteed us that. So my grandson, Sam Makari Milne, my daughter's, she's a solo mum, he's a proud Ngaitahu. He's registered. If he ever comes, he's going to university next year. He's 6'4" tall. And if he goes to university and decides to come and work, say he does, for Ngaitahu here, they've got substantial holdings, and I hear they're buying one or two others. I would like for him, if he wants to, and he's on the Maori roll, to be able to stand and be elected. That's democracy. And got these wrong glasses on, but never mind. I'm against that model that you've got now. That's another thing. Those men were not token soldiers of the proud Maori battalion. And they would not condone to be token politicians. We lost a whole generation. That's why things are a bit of a mess now, because we lost that generation. And there's young Tony coming through here now. It's lovely. You know, I've tramped the whole area. I've walked there, hunted with Mary. I went to the Kongaroa Woodsman School in the 50s. You know, I've been around the whole place. I've sat on every par site in the bush, and, you know, I've seen more and felt the spirit of it. And I'm a Pākehā. I don't speak Māori. But it's all in my submission, and I've got a few ideas there, and, you know, just look at it. And well, I've mentioned the ward system, and the Rotorua District Council and the BOP, I've got them down here as DC, but at their regional council, you've got to work together. They're the layer above. You're only a little council, nothing. They encompass the whole thing. They've got the Māori wards. We can be voted for. We vote Lyle if we want, you know. We've got it all. It's democracy. That's what it is. It's democracy. And that is the people that fought for it. They're all dead now. These ones died very young, some of them. Read that book. I hope you've all read it, the Māori Battalion book. It'll open your eyes up. How long have I got? 3 minutes. Gosh. Ooh, I never even spoke to my dogs this long. Okay. But you're all good people. You all mean well. You know. We've got to cooperate. We've got to work together. Then get some strong people in. Elected council. If you don't like him, don't like him, don't like him, vote them out. Keep her in. And you have a good talk to Glynis. She's a wise old head. And you'll go a long way.
Your petition, you know, your submission probably.
Yeah, okay, right. But, well, basically it's in there. I'm not, you know, I don't need to go on and stuff about, you know, who, you know, I want to see a broad encompassing of this area. Not Te Arawa, Arawa. It's, I got the library, it mentions Arawa in a lot of the old books up there. I've been doing a lot of research in the last week. My father's stuff took about 3 years finding out about him. Okay, well, you know, I won't say any more because Stuart Bedwin, I'm not criticising him, he spoke eloquently the other day. He mentioned the city 5 times. We're not the city, we are the district. And just briefly, big plans here in the paper for city. See that? Look at it. And here it is, the farmers to fight rates. Because you've got no voice on the farming area. It's not just the farmers, it's all the people out there. So how do you talk to them? It's ridiculous. Get this ward system going, do it properly, give them support on the Māori side of it, and, you know, you're going to work well. Look at the regional council, talk to them, talk to Arapita. Talk to him. He's respected, and he's only young. I'm 75, he's half my age, you know. So that's how you've got to go ahead. All this other rubbish, God, all these layers, bureaucrats, I hate it. Spin doctors and bureaucrats. No, don't bother. Here, just read that. But I'd love you to read that. That's not my. It's just. It's a couple of pages out of that book about the Māori Battalion, the good side of them and the tough side. And it's also about my father, who was an ordinary man, an insurance manager for Taranaki. He wasn't a professional soldier. But look what he put. It's in there. Just read it and just reflect on it. What those people represented, and that man. If we put John's boots in the middle of the floor here now, none of us could fill it if we all hopped them together. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Milne. Very thought-provoking. If only we could write the headlines in the paper too, you might be happier.
I bring them up, I bring you people up when you make mistakes, but, you know, okay. I need a secretary. Anyone? Oh, by the way, just briefly.
You need a what?
Tanya Butcher, I found out, is my cousin.
Well, that's amazing.
H.R. Butcher, who owned that land from 1880 to...
Right. Well, we need to move on,
yeah, okay.
Rod. But nice of you, sit next to your cousin.
That's what my rugby coach used to say.
Have a chat.
Move on, yeah. Okay, thank you. Now
we ask Scott McAllister to the table. And Scott... I think you're our youngest submitter, so well done, Scott. We've been asking, where are the young voices? So if you look at submission 1660, page 201, and just relax, Scott, you can't beat Mr. Mill.
Well, I hope he does one day. Go on. Good on you.
Yeah, I don't think we've heard enough young voices in this debate. We're the ones going to be living in Rotorua 2030, 2040. So, I think our vision is important. I'm speaking in favour of this proposal. One of the issues is equality. We've heard a lot about equality, some quite passionate views. Do we have equality in New Zealand? There's a 7-year gap between Māori and non-Māori in life expectancy, about 10% in unemployment. I don't think in terms of economic and social indicators that we are equal. Not yet. There's an inherent and systemic bias against Māori, and I think more representation, more involvement is a good step to correcting this. Māori need more say on issues like economic well-being, land and water rights, and cultural values. Almost 40% of Rotorua residents identify as Māori. Looking around the council, lots of white faces, you wouldn't know it. We need more Māori involvement, and this proposal is an important catalyst in that regard. Some opponents agree we do need more Māori representation, but it's the structure of the proposal they object to, rather. I'll just go over that quickly. There's a lot of talk about people not wanting unelected councillors, representatives rather, having the same rights as elected council members. That's clearly not true. The proposal states that two Te Arawa elected representatives will sit with voting rights alongside the full council on two committees. Any decisions made at committee level can be reconsidered at a full council meeting. There's no power at all for the representatives to set rates, make bylaws or borrow money. They won't have the same power as elected councillors. They're not plucked off the street either. They will be elected and held accountable to Te Arawa. There's more objections, claims it hasn't been a democratic and transparent proposal. Incredibly, parallels to apartheid have been drawn. It's been labelled corrupt and tyrannical. That's not the case. It's taken 12 months to draft this proposal. It complies with national government legislation, specifically the Local Government Act, Resource Management Act. Tompkins Wake lawyers confirmed it was lawful and compliant. We're currently in the council chambers taking part in a public submission to change the long-term plan. It has been transparent and democratic. It hasn't come about overnight. There's also concerns that the proposal will only represent Te Arawa. Where's the rest of Māori community involvement? Well, there's a provision from year two onwards to involve other iwi. And I think in the coming years, I hope, we're going to see more Māori representation, not just Te Arawa. There's concerns about the excessive and prohibitive cost, which is estimated at around $200,000. We've heard how extravagant and reckless a waste of ratepayer money this is. We haven't heard much of the 2012 Environment Court decision against the council, where $115,000 of ratepayer money was spent in legal costs, legal fees, and the council was told it needed to improve iwi consultation and involvement. Focusing only on the cost leaves no room for the huge economic contribution Te Arawa make to Rotorua. We need to focus more on the economic benefits we can get with partnering with Te Arawa by improving communication, sharing skills and knowledge. There are massive benefits partnering with Rotorua. I think it's been a transparent and democratic proposal. It's definitely not a panacea, it's not a cure-all, but it's a step in the right direction, and I fully support it. Questions? Sure, Mike's keen. Got some.
I'll cheer. Councillor Sturt.
Thank you, Scott, for your obviously well considered. You've even read the Act and know the provisions of the Act, etc., and you're to be congratulated. Tell us a little bit about Scott McAllister.
I don't think that's. It's incidental, it's not relevant.
Are you born and bred in Rotorua?
Yeah, I'm from Rotorua. Yeah, John Paul College.
Yeah. And you're working here? And
Te Aupo, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool, thank you.
Any further questions?
Oh, sorry, thank you. Councillor Rokoate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Scott, for your presentation, your submission. It's great to see that someone has actually read the Te Aupo proposal. And you've clearly articulated the areas that you wanted to highlight to us. So thank you for that. But it's obvious, sitting here listening to many of the submissions, that people don't know what they don't know. So how are we? Because we've heard, as you said, we've heard in some instances people are saying, well, there could be violence and the community is divided. So how do we take away the fear? Because, you know, obviously it is, people are fearful about what they believe they're going to lose rather than what they're going to gain. So how do you think we should be going about that?
Right, I think that's a really good question. The council, I don't think you've been above reproach in that regard. Reading on the online, there's so much jargon to trawl through. I'm sure the layperson like really has to work hard to understand the issue. And that leaves gives some oxygen to organisations like pro-democracy. When people don't understand the issue, it's easy for inflammatory, headline-grabbing views to be aired and gain traction. So I think the council could have worked a bit harder to try to translate that into something the layperson could understand. Yeah.
Councillor Hunt.
Thank you, Scott, for your very eloquent submission here. Your friends, the young people and that you know, what are their thoughts?
I think as there's a lot more I think people are increasingly becoming more inclusive as a society. As we go forward, we're going to see more desire to have Māori involvement. So I think the youth is with me on this one, and I think for the most part they're in favour of more Māori representation.
Councillor Gould.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Scott, for your presentation today. Did you attend one of the pre-meetings, and was there enough information on the Rotorua District Council website for you to obtain the views you have got?
No, I didn't go to the meetings. There is enough information on the website, but you do have to scroll and scroll through and trying to understand the proposal. It is tricky. A lot of jargon, yeah.
It's a good point for us to take on board. Sorry? Oh, Councillor Donaldson, sorry.
Dave. Well, I did have a question, Your Worship, but Councillor Hunting asked exactly the same question. How representative does Scott feel he is of the youth voice? Because we haven't heard a lot from them.
I think you've answered that. You can add to it if you want to,
Scott. Oh, no, that's covered it all.
Thank you. And thank you for coming. It's great to hear your generation. Yeah. I suppose the clap, we said no clapping from the galleria, but we'll let that one go. It's just great to see young people interested in democratic processes. So we'll move on now to Kahuriki Hancock, submission 1662, page 201. Good afternoon. If we could just all settle, please, so that we can listen to our next submitter.
Tēnā koutou katoa. Before I start my submission, I do want to acknowledge Scott and his wonderful foresight. And I think that he as a young person leads a good pathway for our future generations. So ngā mihi ki aia. Okay, tēnā koutou katoa. Ko tiheia te maunga, te awa hau te awa, tari mano te marae, ko Ngāti Rangi Wewehi te iwi, ko te aroa te waka, ko kahu ariki Hancock tōku ingoa. He moko puna ahau no ngā mātua tūpuna o ngā tirangi wewehi. He kuia hoki ahau no aku moko puna kōtiro ko Ella Rawa Kumaraya. Me timata ahau pēnei, tuatahi e mihi ana ki te kaikarakia. Nāna te wako te whakapono hei kawe i ngā kaupapa kōrero o tēnei wānanga. Ko tēnei wānanga hei whiriwhiri i ngā whakaro, hei witiwiti i ngā hua. Ki te kimi huarahi oranga mā tātou ngā tangata o tēnei hāpuri o Rotorua. Ko taku ki tēna, ko tai ki te wā, me noho ngātahi a ngā iwi o te rohe, kia koutou te kaunihira ārohe o Rotorua. Nā te noho ngātahi ki ngā iwi o te hāpuri ka taia i ngā mea katoa. My name is Jocelyn Kahuariki Hancock. I reside at 27 Russell Road, Rotorua. I hold a graduate diploma in business, Māori development from the University of Auckland. Other qualifications include first line management, health promotion certificate, and graduate studies of Te Wānanga Raukawa. My day job is that of a CEO. I am the Chief Executive Officer for the Rangiwewehi Charitable Trust. I am here representing myself and my whānau. My whānau have resided in the Rotorua district for many generations and will continue to remain for many more generations to come. I take pride in being able to deliver this submission along with Te Reo Māori and acknowledge the tension that can be created from this element. I draw upon an energy of cultural continuity to deliver a message from my intergenerational whānau perspective. My mother is Ella Bidwa, born 2nd September 1931 at Te Awahau. She too has always resided in Rotorua. Today she is 83 years of age and recalls a taking, the taking of Te Puno Pekehaua via the Public Works Act of 1968. At that time, Ngāti Rangi Wewehi kinsman, Pakake Heketoru Leonard, was the Deputy Mayor and he was noted and he noted the taking as being unjustified. The purpose of the taking was a water supply for the Nungataha district. As time would progress, the spring would become subject to a resource consent as of 1992. In 2002, the consent arose for renewal and new matters included in the RDC application was supported by the Environment Bay of Plenty. In 2008, Ngāti Rangi Wewehi appealed that consent and sought changes that aligned more closely with the tangata whenua relationship to the puna. In 2009, a decision was made, and the result is that the consent will expire on the 18th of August 2018. At this point, Trevor Maxwell was also Deputy Mayor of RDC during that period. I acknowledge these two kinsmen from Ngāti Rangi Wewehi in order to highlight that Ngāti Rangi Wewehi have always endured trying times and unusual relationships with the District Council, but have continued to persevere with the view of reaching a reconciliation of relationship. In the context of the submission, I acknowledge support for the Model 2 of the Partnership Model, and promote that it will require tweaking but forms a baseline or starting point. Public and private partnership is not foreign. It has already been embraced in this community and should continue to be the trailblazer for these initiatives. An accord of this type will lead towards a more balanced approach to social cohesion and economic development. These things are not hard for council to put into place. Let us not waste energy on the inevitable, but focus our energy into the possible and incredible. Two simple pathways can help us to achieve a more fluid response. Section 31 of the Local Government Act encourages the appointment of unelected members to council committees. Section 81 encourages the engagement with Māori, and Model 2 of the submission process is a step in the right direction, as shown by the large interest of the community. Last but not least, I would like to acknowledge the Council. leadership and courage taken to bring these types of initiatives out into the forefront for discussion and not allow them to fester into negative oblivion. In closing, mā te whakatau ka mōhio. When we are shown, we come to know. Mā te mōhio ka marama. When we know, we come to understand. Mā te marama ka ora ai tātou. When we understand, we will achieve wellness. Thank you for the opportunity to put forward this submission. I reiterate that I support the exploration of Maru 2 and I do not support any other models proposed. Tēnā koutou katoa.
Thank you, Kahua Reke.
Questions?
Yes. Do we have any questions? There appear to be none. You have a question, Councillor Weeper?
Thank you. Nice to see you again. Thank you very much for coming in
and
for your submission. I was just having a look here at your submission, and I appreciate you totally support the option too, but there has been a suggestion by some that we could look at Māori wards. Do you think that would be useful or effective?
I do know that the model of the Māori wards with the Bay of Plenty Regional Council does work, and we do actually play quite an active role within it, particularly when the meetings are held in the Te Aroha Rohe. And that, so we're fully engaged in that process, and I think it'll be a fantastic step in the right direction, actually.
Councillor Stewart.
Thank you very much for your submission, Kau. You mentioned in your submission regarding Model 2 where there's going to be a board elected, and in the second year, Matawaka are going to be involved. We've had many submissions that believe that there should be a greater involvement of Matawaka in terms of the overall numbers on that board. So I want to comment about that from you, because non-Te Aroha Māori feel as though they should be involved as well. And I don't think there would be a problem. I want to know whether there would be a problem in terms of Ngā Te Rangiwhiwhi in your submission. And the other question I have is, I'll get you to answer that before I ask the other question, if I may, Madam Chair.
I think when we look at it of a worldview of Māori, mā tāwaka are inclusive with tangata whenua reality. Mm-hmm. And that I think the importance of it is that over generations, the people that continue to look after the area are actually te ahika. And ahika are iwi that are non-transient, they don't actually move. Whereas mā tāwaka have the privilege to come in and out. Mm. And I think that is the distinction that I would draw upon.
And my final question is, this is going to be one string to your bow, because under the MOU provisions, you have the right to talk to council directly, and under this mayor, those have been given greater emphasis. So the business of Ngā Te Rangiwhiwhi on an individual hapu basis and tūhaerangi and all the others is going to be enhanced. So do you see this as an add-on from a Te Aroha perspective to come to the council table?
I think having the privilege of having the direct MOU and then that opportunity for a wider Te Aroha cohesion, which will include mā tāwaka, it does add value. And so, yes, I would say it adds value, in my opinion. Thank you. Thank you. Kia ora mai.
And now we ask Arapeta Tahana, submission number 1665, page 202. Good afternoon. Oh.
Kia mā kinakina ki uta, kia mā taratara ki tai. Kai te whakapuke ake ngā ngaru o te ngāru e, kai te heru mai ngā pōtiki āhine hōpū ki te mātārā i orehu. Māhoa mai tō kumiti ki paripari te tai. Koe nā te tā huhu o te whare tapu a kawatapu ārangi. ana ko kawatapu wārangi, ka puta ko piki atua tahi, ka puta ko tamakari, ka puta ko piki atua rua. Nei rā te uri, o piki au, o Ngāti piki au, e tau ana. Atuatahi ake rā, ka mihi atu ki tō tātou kaihanga, a nāna e tiaki i manaaki a tātou i ngā wā katoa kia taipai ai ki tēnei wāhanga o te rā tainoa ki te mutunga. A tuarua ake, ka tika kia mihi atu ki te wāhingaro. A wā tātou tūpuna, a kua peke atu ki tua o te ārai, rātou i para i te huarahi mā tātou, ka mihi, no reira haere, haere, oki oki atu. A tuatu i tēnā, hoki wairua mai ki enei kōrero. Kia tau wai te rangi mārie, kia rongo wai te ia a o tātou tūpuna, te tūmanako, kia noho ngātahi ngā iwi katoa i roto i tēnei rohe. No reira, oku tūpuna, ka mihi atu ki o kōtau. A hei whakamutunga tēnei rā te mihi atu ki a tātou te hungarora. Ka mihi atu ki a kōtau ngā kai hautu o tēnei kaunihera, ana taino atu ki a kōtau katoa kua tai mai hei whakarongo, hei whakapuaki o kōtau whakaaro, tēnei rā te mihi atu ki a kōtau katoa. Kia ora, councillors, and thank you for the opportunity to come along and speak to my submission. One of the things I need to say from the outset is I'm presenting from a personal perspective. Having grown up in this town, lived in this town pretty much all of my life, and I'm also speaking on behalf of my whānau and our whānau trust, which is the whānau trust of mai karaua and kuia, so te atirangi tāhana and kiri tāhana. So a couple of perspectives there. I understand that allows me 20 minutes. I want to keep my presentation side of things to about 10 minutes because I'd really like to take questions and clarify anything that you want to discuss. So these are the key things that I want to talk about. First of all, in terms of a mihi, I want to acknowledge the council. I want to acknowledge you for giving us this opportunity to have this discussion. You've, in your plans in the past, you've mentioned that you want a strong partnership with Tauroa. We've had some rocky roads in the past and made some mistakes, but you're demonstrating some leadership and saying to your community, we're going to resolve this, we're going to hear how we can do that, and we're going to work together to do that. So I really want to acknowledge the council for doing that because it takes some leadership. Secondly, I want to acknowledge Tauroa. And I want to acknowledge Tauroa, and Tauroa from a collective sense and Tauroa from an individual sense for participating in this process. I'm humbled and proud that our people have spoken. And not only our people, the rest of the community, those who are for and against. I think this is good for community. It's good to debate these issues. So I want to acknowledge all of you here, Māori, Pākehā, Tauroa, non-Tauroa, Mātāwaka. Thank you for sharing your views. I think this brings a richness to the conversation and ultimately brings a better solution for our whole community. So that's my mihi. People, how hā te mea nui o te ao? He tangata, he tangata, he tangata. I'm going to sit down.
Hi.
I'm a little bit tired. I've been chasing the Māori economy and it's growing so quickly. Anyway, people, I've deliberately put this up here because I want to steer away from the politics and the model and the technicalities around this. Because for me, the conversation we're having is about people. It's about values, it's about community, it's about inclusiveness, it's about working together for the betterment of our town, for our children. And I've deliberately brought my daughter here because I want her to be part of this process. And this is the way I was brought up anyway, dragged around to hui. So I wanted to start with this, and in fact, I'm not going to talk about the model per se. I'm not going to talk about the various technical elements of it. I just want to impress upon councillors that what you're facing at the moment is really a people decision, a community decision, a leadership decision. Let's not confuse it with democracy, with legislation, and so forth. Sure, that's an element of it, but there's much more to communities than that. And take her out if she gets too noisy. So I just want to impress that up front. Actually, I'll come back to that. And in talking about people, we all have our own lives and various experiences that we've had. And I just want to talk a little bit about my upbringing, who I am, where I come from. So I was brought up at Tāwhakarere Bay in Rotiti. So that's near the primary school on the eastern side of Rotiti. The land that I grew up on is ancestral land. It belonged to my great-grandfather, Tanuora, passed down to his daughter, Hana,
who was my father's mother and then eventually passed down to my father. And so I've grown up in an environment where I've been subject to and embraced by Māori culture and brought up very much nurtured by Māori culture. But there's another side to who I am and where I come from, and that's my mother. And so my mother's heritage is Scottish and English. And I'm proud of both of those lineages. They are what make me, and I cannot disconnect myself from either side, and I appreciate both sides. And having been brought up in that environment where you're at the interface, I suppose, of two cultures, of Māori and Pākehā. In fact, I'm the byproduct of that interface. And so I suppose I've, throughout my life, learnt to appreciate the value of diversity, of different cultures, of acknowledging and appreciating different points of view, and ultimately being able to come to a point where you can live harmoniously together. I think it's important to note that, because very much, I suppose, my profile in the community is very much from the Māori angle, and I do want to point out my Pākehā ancestry. And I suppose to put this in context, this picture here is a picture at one of my marae, Te Waiti, out at Rotiiti, and you'll see there's a lot of white faces in there. These are my cousins, my uncles and aunties from Scotland and Canada. This was a family reunion we had about 10 years ago. It was the first for our family, and it was lovely for my mother because she spent all her life hanging around with Māori and going to the marae and whatnot, and her family was so far away in Scotland and Canada and so forth. So we decided, let's bring us together. And so we had a family reunion at our marae, and that was beautiful in terms of connecting both of my sides of my heritage, and also beautiful in seeing the appreciation that other cultures have of who we are as Māori. We spent our time on this marae. We talked about a lot of things from a Māori perspective, so we talked about genealogy. And our Scottish family and our Canadian family loved that. They loved us tracking back where do we come from. And what came out of that is an ongoing strong bond between us all. 2 years ago, our family travelled over to Scotland, to Edinburgh, to understand our whakapapa and our history over there. We come from the Lindsay and the Stuart clan in Scotland. And so it was great to reciprocate that and have an opportunity to touch and feel where my Pākehā heritage comes from. I'm deliberately doing this just to point out the importance of cultures working together, and that importance starts not really in a council chamber. It starts in our homes, starts on the streets, it starts the way we interact with other people around us. And I just want to let you know that this, what I'm proposing today, is no different from what I experience in my own life, in my own home. So the principles, the values that I'm espousing today and around this model is who I am and how we live. So I support the model. And when I drafted this slide, I just put up the English version of that box.